Hey everyone, this is A&M Reviews. I'm Adrian.
I'm Muhammad. This is a podcast where we talk about movies,
TV shows,
and all things superheroes.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube,
Instagram,
and Twitter,
which will all be linked in the description of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, everybody, to A&M Reviews. It's Muhammad and Adrian, and today we're going to review the Disney Plus TV series X-Men 97. And the stars, George Buzza as Beast, Cal Dodd as Wolverine, Holly Chow as Jubilee, Ray Chase as Cyclops, Jennifer Hale as Jean Grey, Lenore Zan as Rogue, Matthew Watterson as Magneto, Allison Seeley Smith as Storm, Ross Marquand as Professor X, J.P. Karliak as Morph, and Guy Agostini as Roberto. But the series is about a band of mutants use their uncanny gifts to protect a world that hates and fears them. They're challenged like never before, forced to face a dangerous and unexpected new future. So what did you get from the Disney Plus TV series, X-Men 97?
Yeah, so I think this is one of the rare moments when a series ends, lots of time goes by, and you get to reboot it. But they chose, in a way, not to truly reboot it, but to continue the story as if no time had passed, carried on, I think, in a way that no one expected, and really, I think, overcame expectations in the best ways. I think I was one who tried to limit expectations, because surely the show can't live up to childhood memories and all that kind of stuff. And I had rewatched the original X-Men series more than once, right? And this came and it did what it had to do, and then some. I am very excited for the next season. And I'm even planning to rewatch this one episode after episode again, because it's just that good.
Yeah, I 100% agree with what you're saying, because this knocked it out of the park, and it's the best thing that Marvel has put out since Spider-Man No Way Home and also the Avengers film, the last one. This is definitely the best thing, and not because of nostalgia. I mean, nostalgia definitely does get you, but this show knocks it out of the park in every single way. It gives you that 90s cartoon feel, but with an updated look. The classic theme music. I mean, whenever it gets past like the recap on most episodes and it goes to skip intro, you never skip that. That is a must watch every single time. I never get tired of listening to it or watching it. I mean, and then they... Like in the original series, it was the same every time. But in this, it changes based on the episode and who's more of the focus. And I just love this show. I mean, it was amazing. Everything about it.
Attention to every detail, every costume, every character development moment. I mean, every episode I wanted there to be longer episodes. Like, I wish they were 2 hours long.
Well, when you consider what they had in the 90s, the episodes were longer for this.
This is true. The 90s were like 20 minutes.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, somewhere around there. But, you know, these were at least 30 minutes, so maybe a little bit longer. But definitely a really good series that continues from the original series. And I can't say that I remember everything from the original series. I probably remember a lot of the beginning parts of it, but I didn't watch it right before I watched this. So some of the stuff was like, oh, that happened. Oh, this happened. But it doesn't take too long to catch up. But in this, I feel like at least for the beginning, since I didn't rewatch the first series, a lot of it was fast pace. I was like, man, all these storylines going on. I don't know if I can keep up. But it does get to like one central focus as you get towards the end. But it gives almost every single character a spotlight. It's not just Wolverine like in the first X-Men films.
Past 15 years.
Every single character, for the most part, gets some sort of side story where they get the main focus. There were a couple of mutants that are like some of my favorites who got, I don't want to spoil anything yet, but I wouldn't say I didn't like it, but I'm like, man, I really like these characters and these things happen to them. But I think it all came together at the end pretty well.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. The way that the power sets were used, at times I think the animation style changed and it felt like you're watching an anime with some of the fight scenes. The texture to everything, the subtle changes in the costumes to update things. Everything felt really intentional.
Yeah. And then we also have cameos. And I think this happened in the original series where you might have like Spider-Man or Captain America. But I mean, you get some of those same things. Spider-Man shows up for a second, Captain America, Iron Man, the Black Panther, he shows up. You get a lot of different cameos in this outside of just the X-Men.
Right.
And
And it feels like what Marvel, in my opinion, should be. The X-Men are the focus. Everyone else is just there. That's what it's supposed to be.
well, they have definitely been a cash cow, or at least they were. I know the name has been ruined a little bit since the end of the Fox series, but they're going to come back. This is what started me off with superheroes, the X-Men series. And, I can't wait for them to reimagine it in the movie theaters, but hopefully it doesn't have to be the same as this, but something similar to the effect. They don't have, I mean, let them
Give these
shine.
characters the justice they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, don't just have, well, I'm not sure if they're going to recast the Wolverine character, but let's have multiple different, I guess, main characters and not just, oh, just some Wolverine, even though I like Wolverine, but the X-Men characters are just so varied and interesting that you got to give a lot of the other ones time to shine.
This series reminded you that Wolverine is good, but there are some powerhouse players where even just two or three of any form of a formal X-Men team can take out the MCU's Avengers by accident. That
Yeah.
is the power that we're dealing with here.
Definitely with like Magneto and Professor X. I mean,
Oh, easy. Magneto, Professor X. This is probably the best Jean Grey ever. And she's usually weak at passing out. She did a good job.
is the best rogue.
The best rogue. Storm is God level, just
Omega level.
Omega level threat.
Well, that I was gonna say, I'll go ahead and spoil it, but she does lose her powers. And I was like, oh man, she's like one of my favorite characters. And
They had to do it for a short time because like I know the threats, they should not exist with her and the team. Like she's just too powerful. I mean, the episode, I forget which one, it's like one or two, but she almost takes out eight sentinels on her own.
yeah.
Just
She's an Omega level mutant.
Going from left to right, side to side, like ragdolls. In the first Avengers movie, they were fighting what, random aliens who were like normal people on their planet, like.
Well, I mean, there was, I'm trying to think who was really tearing through. I mean, the Hulk, Thor was tearing through him. Iron Man, yeah. I
If
guess.
it if they had Storm if and Magneto and Gambit in that fight, it would have been over in 3 minutes.
Magneto by himself. I mean.
I mean, and I'm only saying the other ones because we don't know how much that technology wasn't metal. So just in case he couldn't just level them in 3 seconds. I mean, Storm, just looky who.
Yeah.
God of mischief, I'm the Weather Witch. Leave me alone.
But Magneto by himself, especially what he did at the end of this, I mean,
I
it's just
mean,
ridiculous.
had Iron Man scared. I could tell.
I've always wondered, you might know the answer to this, but why are the X-Men looked at as outcasts? I mean, they're mutants, but other characters, they have powers. Shouldn't they still be looked at as, I guess, freaks or outcasts?
Yeah. They're written that way intentionally. I mean, their big storyline is being a minoritized group. So, like, whether that's by race, there are a lot of sexuality, like innuendos where you could see, okay, this is the plight they're kind of facing against in similar ways in this new series. But they're very much, we are a version of the future that the people of today don't like, whether it's diversity or anything else. And I think what's it, the Friends of Humanity or so, their big thing are they're just freaks. They're weird. They have powers, but they're weird. They're stronger than us, but they're so weird. If we band together, we can beat them. And it reminds me, which is a stupid concept, it reminds me of, I forget what the book is, but I guess it's recounted in history. But in early US history, before we were a country, wealthy landlords were trying to figure out how they were going to get the poor white settlers to still see them as important, to see them as lords. Their fear was, in America, everyone is free. We no longer have a king. What are we going to do to keep them in line? So what they did was they said, okay, people from England who are settlers are better than the Irish just because you're better. And that same mentality was used over time in America to really create discrimination and racism. People in power just saying, you know what, these people are different. You are not me, but in order to keep power, I'm going to tell you we're going to hate them. So I think in the X-Men universe, it is people who are normal people, rich people, people in positions of power, see mutants as the other, knowing that they are quote unquote better or evolution. So they will look to people on their level, normal humans, gang them up and say, you know what? Let's make them hate mutants just because, and it works. The thing that I think is going to be interesting whenever the X-Men do finally show up on the screen again is if they do intermingle with the rest of the heroes, how will the movies deal with the Avengers or other heroes not accepting the X-Men, or at least being like closeted friends? Kind of like the scene we get with Captain America and Rogue in this. The other heroes want to be on the X-Men sides, but not publicly. And I wonder how that'll play out on the screen as well.
Yeah, that'll be pretty interesting. And I know there's like some comic series with like Avengers versus X-Men. And
For all these reasons.
not to downplay the Avengers. I mean, I really like the Avengers,
Yeah.
but a lot of I would say like almost anybody can make it on that team.
I mean, you got Ant-Man.
You got superpowers? Okay, yeah. You can join.
Yeah. Oh, you're kind of smart. Oh, cool. You know how to fly a drone? Okay, I can be the next Captain America. Cool. You're an
Yeah.
alien from another place. Cool. I'm an Avenger now. You have moderate strength. Cool. Like Gamora, love her to death. Why is she an Avenger at some point? She's just regular.
I wouldn't say
Black
she's
Widow.
regular. I mean, no,
She's
she's,
a green. She's a green Black Widow,
but
who again
she's
I say is
relatively
regular.
stronger.
Relatively, yes. Not by much,
Not by
and
much. She's an alien.
not by a random mutant on the street could probably hold their own if they had the training with Gamora. They're not that special.
No, I mean, she's just pretty much probably like, a good fighter, a good tactician, all those things.
Right.
But another character that I really liked in this was Nightcrawler. I was like, man,
They did him well.
we need another scene like we got in X2.
Yeah.
Was crazy.
Think about it often.
Because I think that was the only movie he showed up in, right?
It was.
That's a
There's the rumors
disservice.
that the actor and the director just had different opinions and about how
Replace
he
them
would
then.
show up in the third movie.
Replace
Yes.
them. I don't care.
Never got around to it.
Well, I'm thinking, of course, we'll get like the main group for the live action. Maybe like the first X-Men group, where you have Cyclops, Jean Grey, Iceman. I think Angel, is he a part of that first group?
Yep. And
Maybe
Beast.
somebody else. But that's what I'm thinking we'll get.
But I don't, I mean, I really don't care as long as we get Storm for as long as possible.
I wonder if they'll tie her into the Black Panther.
Good. I wouldn't be mad at it. I mean, there's history there. Yeah, she can do no wrong when given the appropriate attention.
Oh,
Because
yeah.
I mean, you say what you want about Halle Berry's her acting, but even whenever in the later movies, it's not her acting that's a problem. They just didn't give Storm the power.
But I feel like in almost every movie, she's kind of depowered.
So far, yeah.
She could do so much more.
Right. I mean, literally, she in this series, lightning was happening, struck the sand, turned it into glass. Like that's how hot it was. Like so powerful.
Yeah, super powerful. And then Gambit is definitely one of my favorite characters. And
Yeah.
he's got the Cajun accent. Mon ami.
Yeah, they did. He was great. One thing I think really hard is to do Rogue right. She has to get in contact with Carol Danvers. So that could be the way in. I mean, maybe it's in one of the next Marvel movies or times we see Captain Marvel, we have Rogue. She touches her, absorbs her powers. That's a really big part of why Rogue is so powerful in the animated series versus what we saw in the live action, is because she had the powers of Captain Marvel. So it'll be interesting to see how they would do that.
I mean, in the live action one, she didn't do anything, I don't think.
No, she didn't. She didn't have, I mean, she had
Nothing of note.
nothing of, well, they didn't let her like keep any powers. Whereas in the comics, she absorbs so much of Carol Danvers, that's why she's always powerful. But in the movies, her big thing was getting Magneto's powers, but only to be used a certain way. And after that, they were gone except for the gray hair. And she never really materialized. And she wanted to lose her powers, and They really just messed their character up.
Yeah, it was, before I really knew much about her character. But
You'd
she's
think
really
they're two different
powerful.
characters.
Yeah, but she's really good in this. I mean, super powerful. I mean, I think everybody gets their time to shine. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here, so we can kind of talk about some of our favorite moments and how it kind of ends. So, what was some of your favorite moments from the series?
Favorite moment, definitely learning more about Forge. He or he's kind of a side character, but his that whole episode or half episode with Storm getting her powers back, I thought was really good. I mean, it was a dark episode,
Oh, yeah.
and I think it showed even without her powers, she's such an interesting character. And same with Forge, being very interesting as well. But her getting them back in that redemption moment, but the changing of the outfit, going to the classic look, and really showing, because that episode is whenever Genosha was destroyed. So it really showed, how valuable she is to the team as well. Had she been there, who knows? Other people could have been saved. But yeah, anything that she did on screen was great. And I also thought having Cable's storyline really kind of wrapped up in this. I mean, he was all throughout the original X-Men series, but he's kind of just thrown in there because that's what he is, time traveling, he just pops up. But you really get to see more of him as a family member of Cyclops and Jean. And that was really good to see as well, from like a just storytelling perspective. It made his character make more sense, and every time he appeared in the original series, mean even more.
Yeah, you really get that connection of him being the child of Jean Grey and Cyclops, and it also ties back into the end of this whenever we see a younger him, and they all get, displaced, and I wonder, I mean, I remember seeing Deadpool 2 and he was in that, but I can't even remember what happened at the end of that. So I'm just wondering if he'll show up again. Probably not. But
He might be in Deadpool.
yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, he could be, I
Oh, just
guess.
how? Yeah. I don't know if he's a major character or not. They seem to be like, because they are time traveling, though. It seems as though they're going to time travel in that movie. So he would definitely be a part of that. Maybe we'll see Bishop. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's I guess Bishop kind of took the place of Cable, kind of jumping in and out because he
Yeah.
just disappeared.
He's missing quite often in this one. He was there a lot in the beginning, but as the season went on, he was popping in and out, mostly out.
That was something that one of the characters mentioned. Like, where's Bishop? Like, I think it was more like an insult, like as far as like their team being a team. And he's just missing. I wonder why they don't work together.
I think, well, they're from different times, I believe.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Cable looks much older.
Yeah, he's much older, and I think their missions are a little bit different. I think Bishop, I mean, they're both trying to prevent bad futures, but I don't know, they go about it very differently.
Yeah, they should be working together, but they don't really that much. I really like that. I think they did Jubilee some more justice,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they still pick at her kind of for like just fireworks type of powers, but
Like you have to.
I think she's a little bit more powerful than that. I mean, she can almost have like these cosmic type of level of power with her, I guess. I don't know what to call her power, but they showed some of
It's
it.
like explosives, blast.
Yeah, She's probably a character that definitely not on screen, not on in live action, has been done any justice. I mean, just
No.
the background character.
Yeah. A background character, you gotta watch a YouTube video to figure out was even in the movie.
The only time I guess they gave her classic look was in, was it the last X-Men movie? It was one of those. Or was it X-Men
Yeah.
Apocalypse?
I think it was Apocalypse.
Yeah, it was one of the last two ones where she had like the classic look, but still, she didn't say anything.
No.
Yeah, I like that. I like some of the classic lines, to me, my X-Men with Cyclops, and especially when Professor X came back, and then they all like he kind of had that telepathic communication with them, and then their faces show up. I mean that was a great scene.
All his dialogue was really good in this.
Professor X.
Yeah, like he had some deep conversation in the series, but in the original series, but in this one, you get a lot of conversation and thought in it, and seeing him use his power in a very different way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I hope whoever that they choose, because I mean, you can't choose Patrick Stewart at this point. I mean, that's getting way
One
too
more
old.
time. I guess one more. Here's one more time being Deadpool. Has to be, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, he was in, what was it, Doctor Strange for that second.
Yeah.
And they had that classic,
Yep. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll still use that music.
They have to.
It's just too good.
Right.
Hopefully they choose somebody kind of like that Iron Man type of age, kind of middle age, not too old. But same thing with Magneto, with the recasting, all those things, and then have that younger group, maybe not too young, where they're teenagers, maybe like, I don't know, early 20s, something like that. But he had some really good scenes in this, and Cyclops. You
Yeah.
really look at the Cyclops differently from the X-Men movies, not the younger one, but the older one. I forget the guy's name, but I always think of him as Cyclops. But
Yeah, every movie plays.
he was in Sonic. I can't remember his name, but yeah, he's pretty bland.
Yeah.
It's at this
Definitely not a great actor outside of that. It's pretty corny.
yeah. In this, you definitely get more of the emotional side with Cyclops and how he struggles with being a leader and trying to lead the X-Men on the right path with Professor X being thought of as dead, and balancing all those things. And I thought they did, I mean, a great job with him. And hopefully whoever they pick, they bring that same type of feel to the role.
If they can find somebody who doesn't look goofy with the classic costume pulled over his head, they'll do a good job.
Well, I don't think they have to do that. I mean, he can just have
No, I want to see it.
maybe as a joke, like they put it on, like when they're trying out outfits to wear.
Right. And there, I don't know if you caught it, but at one point, I forget who was asking about the costumes in this. It might have been Sunspot. But he said, "Would you expect black leather?"
Oh yeah, I
Because, and
remember
that's
that.
a reverse on the joke from the original movies,
Yeah, the first film.
right? So it was so self-aware. Like it knows it was good. Like they knew when they were writing and animating it. We're gonna be the best thing that's ever happened tomorrow, TV. So,
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I think they plan on expanding from here, maybe getting
yeah,
back that Spider-Man series.
yeah.
But my boy Remy LeBeau Gambit, he went out as a real one. I mean, He sacrificed himself, blew up one of the biggest sentinels out there, and pretty much saved everybody.
Yeah,
I
everyone who was left.
think. Yeah, because Genosha was being burned up and blown up. They were just it was a surprise attack by the Sentinels. But I was like, man, they just killed one of my favorite characters, Gambit. He was definitely one of my early favorite characters in the X-Men. And he hasn't been done much of any justice in the movies. I mean, he was just in X-Men Origins. And I mean, he was supposed to be Channing Tatum. Like, he was supposed to have a movie. It was supposed to be like a couple of years after Deadpool, then it just never happened.
Rumor is they're going to have him in the Deadpool movie. See,
That's probably not going to
I don't know. They just as a throwaway in a few minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. But he was a throwaway in X-Men Origins.
Yeah.
Guess everything was a throwaway in that movie.
Yeah, they kind of the whole story. Deadpool himself.
Yeah, well, I still kind of like that movie though.
It's such a strange movie. Will.i.am's in it. It's such a strange movie.
I forgot what his character's name, but he's kind of like Nightcrawler, but worse.
Yeah. Predictable.
Yeah, but I think they're definitely going to bring him back, especially once we get towards the end of this. With all these things going on and the main villain, I forgot his name. I'm not really familiar with him, but he's a mutant.
Bastion.
He said what?
Bastion.
Bastion? Okay. Well, he's a mutant that can pretty much control technologically advanced things, and he's made everybody into a technological zombie when he can just control at any moment. And they get transported all over the place between timelines. And then Jean Grey and Cyclops are transported to the future, where they see a young Nathan Drake, or not Nathan Drake. I'm thinking of what's that video game? Uncharted. Yeah, they're with their son. They meet their son, a young version of him, and everybody else is transported to the past, almost to the beginning in Egypt, where they meet a really young Apocalypse. Like I guess maybe in his 20s, and we also get like the present day. I don't know if you saw it, but it was kind of like a little cutscene at the end of it. The present day with Apocalypse. And he's got a card that is, kind of like one of the Gambit cards. And I'm pretty sure there's been like a different rotation of who Apocalypse's four horsemen are. And Gambit has been one of them.
So will he resurrect him as death?
I think he's definitely going to resurrect him. Now, I'm not sure. I can't remember who he had as his horseman in the original series, because I know he showed up then. But
Yeah, it was Angel.
Angel always seems to be one.
Angel's always one. Was it? It wasn't Psylocke.
Psylocke might have been. She had a little cameo in this.
Maybe. I can't remember who else he had in this.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but he's definitely going to bring him back. Is that those they already set the trail for that. But I'm really interested to see where they go from this point, especially with Apocalypse coming back. The final kind of three episodes, what is it called? tolerance.
extinction.
Yeah, tolerance is extinction. I mean, just epic in every single way. I mean, just the fight scenes, the way it's animated, it's crazy. And it's so good. The way that they show off Magneto's powers, like how he just literally shuts down all of technology. Mean, that's just a ridiculous amount of power. And then to have his own Genosha up in the air, like he just made his own little planet. I mean, he's just ridiculous.
How do you take the Avengers seriously when they're just rogue mutants running around? They can do stuff like that.
Mean, there's definitely other Avengers that could take them on. Like, I mean, it'll be very hard.
Yeah. Think about a
Especially if you
planet.
have all of the X-Men.
One of the best scenes was the disrespect that Rogue did towards Captain America after the little disagreement. I mean, she just took his shield and threw it across,
Like, you don't need this.
a couple hundred miles. And he just kind of looks up like that just again, the disrespect. The way the X-Men could just have their way with all of the Avengers, it's too easy.
Well, I don't think they would just literally just destroy them. I think there's probably like,
They have a tough fight.
I mean, that there's probably like 10 that could just be like, just walk all over them. But I don't think every single one of them would just destroy them. I think Captain America would die
No,
pretty
not
easily.
individually.
I mean, Rogue by herself, just touch him, boom, dead. Iron Man could probably hold his own for some time, but go
Unless
up against the
Magneto's
right
there.
one, he's done. Especially Magneto. I mean, come on. He'd probably just crush him in the suit. Thor could definitely hold his own.
Thor would be hard.
The Hulk would
The
be pretty
Hulk
hard.
will be hard.
But I think Magneto and Professor X could handle that. Really, just those two by themselves could probably take down the Avengers.
They just limit themselves all the time. Professor X, I mean, pure example, he can literally just make you believe you're a rock and he just chooses not to try to let you make a decision on your own. But yeah, those two, if push come to shove, could take care of it. Just
Just
paralyze everybody, just disassemble every gun, take off Bucky's arm. Just...
go
'Cause I
inside,
mean,
hit their mind to make them do what they want to do.
right. I mean, the what Magneto did to Wolverine in, I think, second to last episode. I mean, almost
Destroyed his
destroyed him.
body.
Right? He said,
Almost
I'm
killed
done. He said, I'm done with these games.
didn't come back after that. I mean, he was still
No,
alive.
he was he's on his deathbed for the whole third episode.
Yeah. But yeah, I think those two together could probably take on the whole team of the Avengers, Magneto and Professor X.
They could do so handily. And it would just take a lot of preparation, which the Avengers are good at. Perhaps some government surveillance, which they're also good at. Time to beat the X-Men, but I think that would be a great thing to explore in the MCU.
Yeah, so like a Avengers versus X-Men type of movie.
Definitely. I think the only thing is we'll have to see this new lineup of Avengers because it's not the classic anymore. It's probably going to be Black Widow's sister, Captain Marvel, Shuri, Hawkeye, Ronan, I guess. Thor, the old man Thor.
Ironheart.
Ironheart. It's just a little different lineup. We haven't seen this Avengers work together, in that classical way yet, so that remains to be seen.
Yeah, and who's gonna replace Jonathan Majors?
That also remains to be seen. Will that even be a thing that needs to happen? I don't know.
I mean, what do you mean? I'm not saying like you. Actually, I'm just saying like you have to replace that, I guess the actor, because I'm pretty sure they want to still keep that same character.
Yeah, the actor has to be replaced, but as far as I mean, I guess we still do have the Kang Dynasty is on the books as being a movie. But I'm hopeful just because of the way that Kang has so many variants, it won't really feel like a replacement, more so just a different Kang.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I wonder when the X-Men actually show up in this. When are we gonna get that movie?
I don't know if that could be 10 years, unfortunately. I don't know. 'Cause
Years? I mean,
they plan these things out so far, and just a straight up X-Men movie, I guess not before 2028, right?
no. I don't think so, because I
With what
mean,
they have planned, aren't they booked out to that 2028?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked in a while.
I mean, to get through both of the Avengers films, Kang Dynasty and the other one, Secret Wars,
Yeah.
that's pretty far.
Well, I think it's 2026, 2027 with those movies.
Seven.
But
So 2028.
well, maybe
I
they
know
don't.
it feels like forever, but.
But I mean, we've already had a cameo with Beast, so I'm thinking like they gotta have something.
It's true. That's true. They could be a part of one of these movies without it being an X-Men movie.
Yeah, it'll
But
probably be that.
we get to see their power sets. We get to see them fight. Cameos are great, but when do we see Storm get the MCU treatment? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I mean, just
I'm not
think
sure.
in what it's been 5 years since the last X-Men movie. So it's about that time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's by that time, but they would just amend that timeline, which I'd be okay with if they changed some things around.
And the Fantastic Four movie is supposed to come out next year, and it'll be 10 years since that last one, that terrible movie, the Fant4stic, which some people call
Wow. How was that 10 years ago, man?
2015. Fant4stic. But
Yeah,
look.
who knows? I'm ready for it, but who knows? And that's why I think we have to enjoy these animated series. I think they've already said the next two seasons are green lit, so
Oh yeah. I
that's
mean,
something to look forward to.
definitely. I mean, hopefully it doesn't take too long for these to come out, but it'll be great to have these again, and maybe they'll do more episodes. Maybe like 15. I think that'll be good.
Oh, 15, chef's kiss. And also, I like the having to wait a week. It's getting back to what TV used to be.
That what you
I
want?
think
TV, how it used to be?
not everything. I want quality shows again. I want so I don't mind waiting a week, 'cause, and it also gives room for conversation when they're a week apart. Catching up with people. Hey, just the episode, whatever. That stuff is nice. But when you get down to like the cost of the way TV is now, I mean, maybe I don't want cable now because on streaming services, what are we doing?
Yeah, the thing is they're kind of putting everything in different places where you have to have multiple subscriptions. So That's what's messing a lot of people up.
Right.
And then they'll probably come up with like a bundle, and then it's the cable price again.
I mean, if you're paying for Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN, Max, Peacock, if you're paying for that, you're paying for cable. You're paying for cable right now.
Well,
Case you weren't aware.
there's only two that I'm paying for. I really
Yeah,
just
most
want.
people aren't paying for everything. But we're getting there.
Mean, I think the only thing that keeps regular television alive is live sports.
And even they're coming for that. I mean, YouTube TV.
Netflix this year is going to have NFL football.
Yeah, Netflix got NFL. Okay.
Well, I mean,
They're bidding
Amazon
for
does
it.
too. They have like the Thursday night, and Peacock had a playoff game, and they're probably going to have some more. So they're doing
Yeah.
that.
So we're back to cable prices. So maybe, yes, maybe I want cable again. That way, at least it's one bill. It's less confusing. I know where to find stuff.
But I don't like the format. Like, I don't want to wait for, oh, it only comes on at this time.
Well, no, I mean, as long as you have the DVR now just built in, that's what you're really asking for is cable. And whenever an episode's released, being able to watch it after it's released.
Yeah, I guess so. But just not that
That's,
terrible price. I mean, like over $100.
I mean, $100 for all of those platforms and movies and TV shows and live TV, that's a discount right now.
But who's really paying for all of that?
They're about to make us all do it. They're about to crack down. Get rid of the sharing passwords, making sure it's all from the same IP address. They're coming for
Oh, they better keep searching. Let's go ahead and give this one a rating. So the lowest rating is trash, middle is background noise, and the highest is a banger. So how would you rate the Disney Plus TV series X-Men 97?
This is a certified banger. I mean, the original series was a certified banger, and somehow this tops that. And every episode, wonderful. There wasn't a plot point I didn't like. The dialogue is good. The scenes are good. Giving attention to detail, making everybody a main character. It just did everything it needed to do, and I didn't think that was possible anymore. I think with most reboots, you have to sacrifice something. And this didn't sacrifice anything.
Yeah, I
Did
agree.
the impossible.
I mean, I guess maybe lengthwise, as far as the season, maybe that's the only thing they sacrificed. But think it's a really good reintroduction to the series, just having 10 episodes. And I agree. Certified banger, best of the best, easily the best thing that Marvel has put out since the Avengers films. And I can't wait to see what they have next.
I'm agree.
But I think that does it for us at A&M Reviews. Thank you everybody for listening. Make sure to check out our other platforms, including YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all linked in the description. And if you want to send us a message, click the message link to get featured on the show. And thanks for listening.